This is a presentation of Dawnforge Productions.
You're listening to All Things Azeroth, episode 511, The Tale of Two Raids-ish. Today's sponsor is Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2018. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2018. Over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. We're also sponsored by Funko, maker of the world's broadest selection of vinyl figures from pops to dorbs, rides to mugs, and so much more. Check them out at bit.ly/FunkoATA2018.
Coming all the way from the exotic land known as Canada, buckle in for another episode of All Things Azeroth. Now presenting your hosts, the always stalwart and honorable Medros, a master of the fell and commander of demons, Fandeth, and everybody's favorite meat shield. Wait, meat shield? Who wrote this? I am not a tank. Ahem. The ever-boastful warrior, Toasty, bringing you your news from the World of Warcraft. This is All Things Azeroth.
And welcome back to All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. I'm your host, Medros. And with you, I have Toasty. How are you doing, Toasty?
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, it's been a pretty solid week so far.
Good.
I know it's just Monday, but today was pretty solid.
Good to hear. And we have a mysterious voice back with us this week. Who's that I hear?
Oh, hi. Fandeth here.
How's it going?
I'm not dead, so that's good.
Being alive is good.
I haven't been feeling the greatest. I don't know, like, what was it last week where I wasn't on the show because I was feeling really, like, I sat down, I was raring to go, and I looked at my monitor and just, oh, I started feeling nauseous, I was dizzy, I'm like, oh, this is not good. For a couple weeks now, actually, I've not had the greatest eyesight, like, it's weird, and I've been having headaches, like, daily.
Do you wear contacts, or, because I know you don't wear glasses, but do you wear contacts or anything?
No, nothing.
That could literally be the cause of it, just, you know, your eyes are not as good anymore, and it's going to too much strain, so you're starting to feel sick. That's, I vividly remember that happening to me when I first got my glasses.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Huh. I did go, I think, last year for an eye exam. Me and Hannah went, and, like, I can't remember what the guy said, the doctor. It was so low of, like, not perfect vision that he's like, it's not even worth writing you anything because you won't need it. So I don't know. I have a doctor's appointment tomorrow, so I'm going to go check and see what's up and kind of take it from there. So,
yeah, I mean,
see what happens.
Luck can change in a year, right?
Yeah.
Like it or not, you're getting older. So.
Yeah, that's true. The other thing is that, like, we just moved Hannah's mom into our house September long, and so that move had a lot of stress with it, a lot of stress with work. So I'm going to just blame it on stress because I've had so much stress in my life the past month. And it hasn't quite calmed down yet. So hopefully soon it will. But I'm eating well. I'm sleeping well when I go to bed. Although I get super tired super early. A lot of times when I get home from work, I'm super exhausted, and I'm like, I should just go to bed. So I don't know. We'll see what happens at the doctor tomorrow, you know, blood work or whatever. But I'm better than what things were last week when I was, like, super dizzy. And, you know, I feel like things are getting better daily, but then they go back a little bit. But I really wish I could get rid of this headache. I haven't taken any drugs for it for at least a couple of days, but before I was taking a Tylenol or sometimes two extra strength Tylenol in the morning just to help calm it. One time I took some Aleve, or Naproxen, I should say. I've been drinking lots of water, which is good, and coffee. I can't live without coffee, but I haven't, like, given it up, so It's not like a withdrawal thing. Overall, though, happy to be here, sitting here tonight, so I'm excited.
Well, we're glad to have you back.
Yay!
Have you played much WoW in the last couple weeks?
Not really.
All right, then.
I played a little bit. I know you hit 120, so congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a couple levels higher than me. I actually just hit 118. I don't know if it was last week or if it was on the weekend. But I kind of take like little play sessions here and there. And when I hit 118, I went to... I think that's when it said I was complete with... Like, I use AAP because I want to burn to the level and then I'll do other stuff later. But it said I was done with the second zone that I was working on. So I was working on the third zone, and I went to one of the boats, and it's like, oh, you can go do this. And I think it's an island expedition. I accidentally started it, and I'm like, oh, shoot. Well, I better go do it. And then I got off. I finished it, and then I like accidentally hit another one. It's like, oh, shoot. Well, I'm going to bed. I can't do this again. So I did. I went to bed, and the next time I played, I finished it up, and then I was actively looking for another one for a quest, and so I finished the third one, and I guess that's all that I have to do for that phase. But I've actually unlocked some of my champions for the or my companions. I don't know if I've finished any of the companion quest things, but yeah, that's a thing that actually happened.
Cool. And how was your weekend, WoW Toasty?
Let's see. What did I do? More of the Rep Grind thing. I'm revered now with all the quest factions as alliance. So, Order of Embers, Storm's Wake, and Primordial Admiralty. Pretty sure I'm also revered with the Tortolans. I think the only one I'm not revered with right now is 7th Legion and Champions of Azeroth. So I gotta still work on those. I did all the war campaign stuff that I had available to me. Unfortunately, the next little bit of questing for that is tied behind getting revered with the 7th Legion. So I've got a little work to do before I get that. I did Warfronts, which was interesting. I'm struggling to say it's not very engaging content. Let's just throw that out there. The ongoing banter between the two leaders of the factions was interesting. But, like, as for actually doing the content, just a lot of running around and collecting iron and wood and building stuff up. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to keep doing them because, hey, it's gear that I'm otherwise not going to get because I'm not raiding anymore. That content could be more engaging, I think. No, I changed guilds because I made the active decision to not raid in this expansion. And I went along to a guild who had a similar mindset. So we're targeting, like, most of the stuff that we're looking at is going to be lower level content's a poor choice of words. Just because, like, we're going to be hitting Mythic Pluses and all that once everybody hits 120. I think as of now, three of us have, or maybe four. I can't remember now. Like, it's not a large guild by any stretch. Just a couple of us, and one of them is continuously working out of town, so her playtime's pretty limited. I'm not sure if she's 120 yet. Actually, she might be. She might not have the gear yet. I can't remember now. I know the remainder of us are above 320. Some of us are even significantly higher than that at this point. So once that other person catches up, we should be able to tackle another content. But, you know, right now it's a small, friendly atmosphere. And not to say that my previous guilds weren't small and friendly, because they absolutely were. But it's just lots of social. It's more of a social thing that we've got going on in this group. And that's something that I've missed quite a bit since I started raiding. The last couple of guilds I've been in, they were social to a point. You know, like, I'm struggling to not think, to say something that is of appropriate rating for the show. Yeah. Anyway, in the previous rating guilds, like, you know, everybody was very friendly, and you know, we just sort of, oh man, I am really blanking out right now because I can't think. There's lots of banter back and forth constantly, whether or not it was endearing or insulting, depended on the day.
Yes, that's true. There's a lot of it that was, it was pretty funny though.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm not saying any of it was bad.
There's a little bit of bashing or, I think that's maybe the G phrase for it. There's other explanations that have more expletives.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you're looking for?
Yes, I
totally get it. You know, it was a fun loving home to hang out in, and people were super friendly. Especially like Junks was super friendly and basically invited everybody in and, you know, wanted to help people out the most he could. And like he brought me into raids that I probably didn't belong in, and you know, I still did pretty good for myself, pulled my own to a point, even though I was a short little gnome.
And that kind of stuff was fantastic, but like what I felt had been missing, and it has been missing for me for like since I moved back to Alliance and back and West to started raiding, was that kind of atmosphere was only really present during raid night.
Yeah, I could see that.
And previously, like my first time around, my first go around as Alliance, like so, before I transferred over to Laughing Skull, I had that with my last guild, where it was just like a constant thing all the time, and I missed that portion of the game. I never really got too comfortable in Laughing Skull, and I got little whispers of that.
Yeah.
When I moved back to Alliance,
it was, I mean, our guild on Laughing Skull was, it wasn't the greatest. I mean, the guild was more inviting and better previously, but even then there were like cliques of people, right. And if you weren't part of that clique, then you weren't really doing the outside of raiding stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And any guild I've ever been in had that clique where it's kind of like being in high school, where like a select group of people want to be your friends, and then other people just don't care. It's funny.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting that old feeling from my first go around at Alliance with my new groups. I'm very much enjoying
playing. Yeah.
Like that atmosphere now. It's a different take as to what I've had for the past couple of years. I will say, because I know people from the last group are listening, nothing against the last groups that I've run with. They've all been fantastic. It's just, this is what I'm enjoying now.
And I'm going to say I have everything against the last group because y'all are Alliance scum. And I'm back to the glory of red.
There's not a lot of glory there.
And I play undead. And it's glorious.
Definitely not a lot of glory there.
You know. I mean, there's not a lot of glory in the orc that I play either. Till they killed off Garrosh, and then it got a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah, then Sylvanas happened and it just went away again.
Yeah. Sylvanas, as like a younger player, she kind of scared me. I just didn't know what to do.
As a human being, she should scare you.
Just go hide in your throne room in the Undercity. Oh, yeah, the Alliance tried to take that over. Yeah, we settled some of that with the Blight. Because I was totally part of that.
Yeah. Anyway, what else?
I feel like you're bragging, but I'm not quite sure I understand why.
It just reminded me of my old PvP days where I used to really enjoy PvPing. I was never very good at it, but I still had fun with it. And, you know, I don't know, if one of my healer friends was playing, yeah, I had a pocket healer, and that made PvP even that much more fun.
Yep. Oh, yeah, pocket healers are great.
Oh, my goodness.
I only had one experience with a pocket healer, and I'll never forget this experience. Which was, it was crazy, too, because it was just, like, a random BG, so it was a random group of people. It was Battle for Gilneas. There was, like, an entire group of healers. There was a group of five healers in this battleground. Yeah. And it's a 15v15 Battle for Gilneas, right?
Yeah,
I think so. The healers were doing a good job of keeping us up, and they were not struggling, because there were five of them to the 10 non-healers. So I ended up with a pocket healer, and oh, it was glorious. I didn't die until the last 30 seconds of that battleground. What killed me about that death was I looked at my killing blows, and I can't remember the exact number. I can't remember what the achievement is now. All I know is I was within a couple kills of getting that Wrecking Ball achievement.
Yeah. Shoot.
And I've never come close since then.
Yeah, because I don't know what it is now, but I know back in the day it was 30.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they changed it, but yeah, I remember doing that.
Yep, that was not a fun realization. And my keyboard at the time did not enjoy that realization either. R.I.P. that keyboard.
Yeah.
That's why I keep spares now. Anyway, what else have I been doing in WoW? Did LFR. Got nothing of use at all. So whatever. And I struggled to find a group to do the last quest in the Praetoculturus questline. I'm talking, like, stayed online for 3 hours, desperately trying to find a group that will do it. At one point, I found a group that was just a tank and a healer, and I couldn't believe my luck.
Uh-huh.
Found it within a few seconds of them listing it, and they shut me down.
Oh, no.
So 3 hours spent, I think, on Friday night? Maybe? And did not get into a group. Tried to get on Saturday, nothing. Tried to get on Sunday, nothing. I will get it eventually. I want to finish this quest line. And yeah, did the island expeditions as well. Got, you know, the usual Azerite stuff. Didn't get any interesting drops from there. Got a whole bunch of doubloons. Don't know what I'm going to spend it on. Probably just... lately, I've just been using the doubloons to buy that Azerite scanner upgrade immediately if it's available. Just so I don't have to wait 10 minutes. And that's about it. What about you, Medros?
Got my Demon Hunter up to 114.
Ooh.
Haven't done an expedition on him yet, but that'll be coming soon. Also need to do my first foothold. And then my characters over on Vindicar still. Most of them are almost done. There's one that has some more Paragon rep to get... taken care of, because I still have rep tokens from Legion, and no use in wasting them, right? My leveling has pretty much been finish up the quests for my main in Stormsong Valley. I think he has one quest hub in Tyrgard Sound, it's a keep or something he has to go look at, but overall... just working on Stormsong Valley. Get frustrated that it seems like every day the Alliance boat has a new set of quests for me to do over in Zendalar. I'm kind of wondering when that's going to be done, but probably not for a while, I imagine. But this is all stuff they want people to do as they were leveling, right? So, or shortly after they were leveling while they were waiting for raids. Did my first world boss. It was a bird. Over in Tyrgard Sound, I think, yeah.
Oh, man, that boss, like, if you died during that boss, it was a bad idea to release. It took forever to get back to your freaking corpse.
Nah.
Yes. So I did die. First time went through, and there was five of us. Somebody else had started the group. And I was like, oh, we should probably, you know, convert this to raid so we can have more people. And the person was like, oh, we're fine. I saw on YouTube that if a red paladin can tank this thing, no problem. And I was like, okay, sure, let's do that. Okay. So he goes in, he's a red paladin, he's higher gear than me. I'm like, okay, that's not me. We maybe got down to 90%.
Oh.
Maybe we took 10% off of it before it killed all of us.
Surprised you got that far, honestly.
I was surprised too, honestly. I figured we would probably like all wipe pretty quick. But let's see. Left that group, started my own group, and pretty quickly filled up with 40 people. As soon as we hit the cap, the tanks rolled in. We're doing pretty well. I only got like thrown up in the air like three times. But then I got knocked off the cliff, or off the side of the cliff, and...
Were you out of range to get credit?
I still got credit.
Oh.
People were like, oh, run back. I'm like, no, I've wiped on this thing already once. There's no way I'm running back. I'm waiting for that thing to die before or everybody else dies before I release. So they killed it. I got credit. I thankfully remembered when I saw it, I'm like, oh, I should go get some bonus roll tokens because I've not gotten any yet so far. So I got a couple of them, and I'm very glad because I got nothing on the main loot, but on my roll, I got a pair of pants. 355 eye level, so I was really happy with that.
Nice, congrats.
Yeah, both my main and my Demon Hunter have both gone through Stormsong Valley. But they both kind of took different ways. Like, I didn't want to trigger the horde attack in Bredadin, so I intentionally kept to the opposite side of the east side of the zone and did all of that first, which is really interesting. I hadn't seen that stuff yet, and of course got another quest for a damn dungeon.
Yeah.
I swear there's never going to end. And then my demon hunter just finished up the attack on Bredadin stuff, and now it's just cleaning up the area around there. My main has begun the stuff on the east side of the zone now, but neither of them has finished the zone yet. So I've kind of focused. I kind of use most of my rest XP on my demon hunter, so now I'm gonna let him sit for a bit while my main goes through and does some stuff over there. And then once that's done, I will take other characters through there. But my main's pretty much been the point on all of the zones that I've done so far. So it's really interesting to see some of the story, and I'm really enjoying the story of it. I still haven't seen Jaina again, so I don't know if she'll appear in questing or if I have to actually do a dungeon this year again. We'll see. But yeah, it's been pretty interesting so far.
The answer is yes. You have to go to several dungeons.
So she's not does not appear in questing levels.
Definitely have to do several dungeons.
Okay, so she does not appear. Okay. Very simple answer, yes or no.
See, my problem is I'm not sure where that happened.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, it's been pretty basic. Just kind of doing normal stuff, trying to learn all the stuff I can, and trying to go through as much of the content and learn as much as I can about the story that we're seeing as I go through things. So.
Oh man, Gil, I did tell him about the Mythic.
Yeah. I am never seeing anything that's on Mythic content.
Well, you're not going to finish the Pride of Kul'Thras questline then.
Guess not.
I do have to say that being like a slow leveler, I'm actually dying a lot. I guess I'm just so used to being a tank affliction lock where I don't take any damage, and that's not a thing anymore. So I'm playing Demo. I've died a lot. I'm like, oh geez. I pulled way too many of these things. I'm just... I'm too used to being overpowered, and... Yeah. It's like, oh, shoot. Don't pull so many.
Just wait till you get to 120 and get some decent gear. Apparently, Affliction is freaking killing it in terms of Warlock specs.
Yeah?
Yeah. From what I've read, Demo and Destro are not in a good place. Especially Demo, I'm guessing. Because, a lot of what I'm reading, it feels like they're one of the classes that got hit by that GCD change the hardest. Which sucks. But at the same token, the expansion's only been out for about a month. So hopefully people can figure out a better way to optimize those other two specs. But hey, if you want a raid, you're in the right spec. Well, you'll just destroy an LFR.
I'm not Affliction.
I thought you said you were.
No, I'm Demo. I used to play Affliction. Last expansion, I started off Demo on Laughing Skull, and then when I rolled the character on Dalaran, I was like, okay, well, let's go Destro for something different. And then Slam convinced me to go Affliction because it was so hot. And, you know, that's the thing. Affliction is always, like, crazy overpowered and amazing, but I don't really raid, so I'm gonna do something else where, well, with Affliction I would just drain everything, or drain life everything, and so but yeah, like I love the whole controlling demons for demonology. That's, I mean, way back in the day in Diablo 2, my favorite thing was the Necromancer because I would have the minions, like all the skeletons and the golem and all that kind of stuff. That was my thing. That was my jam. But, I don't know. I've played all three Warlock specs extensively in the past, and I loved them all. Especially, like, way back when I was doing PvP stuff using Destro for the Shatter combos, like Immolate Conflag, and Chaos Bolts, just boom, 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 boom. Like, yeah, I just destroy things. But
I can't even remember what spec my Warlock is anymore. I feel like it might be Destro.
Yeah.
Which one has Chaos Bolt?
That's Destro.
Okay. And it's Destro.
Destruction.
I tried Afflict and Demon and I at first I enjoyed the idea of demo locks. That's what I played it as for most of the time I was leveling up.
Yeah.
And then when I got to WoD content, for some reason I switched over to Destro. Like, I'm enjoying this a lot better, and junks, I'm never worrying about pally abilities.
and last expansion Demo was super stupid because it's like, okay, summon a pet, okay, buff everything, okay, summon a pet, okay, buff everything. That's all you did was summon and then buff. It's like you almost have to macro it. And you can't even do that because
level cooldowns now. Feels bad, man.
But I feel like Demo is a lot more fun playing this expansion than what it was last expansion. Plus I have Demon doing all my crazy crap for me.
I just play Fury Warrior. I dabbled in Arms for like Warrior 2 days. And then I only ran in Prot whenever our tank was late when we were raiding. And we just really wanted to get the first pull in, and it was a boss we had in farm. Once it fulfilled all those criteria, I was okay with using Prot. Outside of that, no. Just no. Not gonna happen. Which is good, because apparently Prot Warriors are in a really bad spot right now. Just from what I'm reading.
I hear they've addressed that, though.
Well, they've either addressed it or they're planning on addressing it. Either way, I hope that they
show. I think Prot they made Warriors. A post about what they're planning to do about Prot.
Okay, cool.
I think so. I thought I was on Twitter about that, so.
Alright. See, Junks, you're good. Just go back to your Prot Warrior. Just leave the pally behind where it belongs.
Otherwise, just a very basic weekend WoW. Just doing the basic stuff. And grinding rep. So, I'll get there eventually. Let's see. I think there's a point where we usually talk about our first sponsor, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, our new sponsor, of course, is the great folks over at Funko. If you haven't heard them by name, you've definitely seen their products. They make collectible vinyl figures from a bunch of Blizzard universes, from Warcraft to Overwatch, Heroes to Diablo, and even more from outside the Blizzardverse, like Firefly, Game of Thrones, and the soon-to-be new season, Doctor Who. I like to highlight a Funko Pop each week, and this week's Funko, we're going to talk about. Now, you'd wanted to talk about a specific Funko Pop last week, didn't you, Toasty? A specific one that was a variant of the one we did last week?
Did I?
Yeah. So we're going to talk about Molten Core Torbjörn, which is a really amusing take on Torbjörn, which we talked about last week. This is only available at Best Buy.
At a glance, it looks like a puppy dog.
You know what's sad about that? They just changed the way Torbjörn functions, and Molten Core is... That's not what Molten Core looks like anymore.
Well, that's unfortunate.
I mean, he looks like it during one of his other during his new ability, which I can't remember the name of right now. But Molten Core does not look like that anymore. Oh, well, bad man.
Now I'm trying to find a picture of that. Oh, okay.
His new ulti just like spews molten stuff all over the floor.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's a little different than that.
Oh well. I still think it looks pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
And, again, these won't come out until, like, until fall, so probably, like, near BlizzCon time. It's a really neat take on Torbjörn, and I'm sure they'll do other ones from other skins. They do several skins from popular Overwatch characters each series. Like I said, you get this at Best Buy. It's an exclusive to Best Buy, so you'll want to check your local Best Buy when they do come out, and watch out for this one. Because it's pretty interesting, I think.
So is that Best Buy US or Best Buy Canada as well, or...?
When I've seen them at Best Buy, they do appear in Canada as well.
Mm-hmm.
That is definitely a good thing, because I really hate when sites only have them in one country and not ours.
So it's no longer Molten Core Torbjörn, it's now Overload Torbjörn. That's what the ability is called now.
I see. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. But yeah, so that's that is Molten Core Torbjörn available from Best Buy when they do release. So hopefully we'll see those out soon. If you want to check out their Funko Pops, again, not the exclusives, but you can check out this series of Funko Pops when they're released and many others by going to bit.ly/FunkoATA2018. You can check out their online shop and use Shop10 to save 10% on your entire purchase. That's bit.ly/FunkoATA2018 and use Shop10 to save 10%. Thanks to Funko for their support of the show. So what's coming up this week?
And wow. I'm sure you guys talked about previously, but looks like the Harvest Festival is ending tomorrow morning. I totally forgot about Harvest Festival, but that's apparently a thing, which is done tomorrow. I had a note about, and a lot of times when I'm planning this week in WoW, I'm looking at the in-game calendar just to get prompted about stuff, and I had a note about Raid Finder, but where are we at with Raid Finder? Did it just open 2 weeks ago, the first wing, or...
Yeah, and I think the second wing is opening tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah,
so tomorrow. That's a thing. I haven't done it yet because I'm not 120 yet. Also, next week is, or this week, I guess, is Cataclysm Time Walking. And Brewfest is ongoing until October 6th. And October 6th being like early in the morning, or in the early morning, so... basically last full day is October 5th. So yeah, I just glancing at it, it looks like they've started filling out the weekly stuff, which is kind of neat. So I know when the expansion first hit, it was like, oh well, there's this week and then nothing for another 3 weeks, and hey, there's gonna be this, and so it looks like it's a little bit more full now. Maybe
that's good. Full is good. Do we have a weekly world quest thing yet, or is that not been put up there yet?
I feel like that's coming up soon.
On the calendar? The in-game calendar? Yeah. I don't know if the weekly world quest has ever been... or what is it? World quest?
Yeah, the World Quest Weekly Quest.
Yeah, I want to do 25 World Quests in a week. I feel like it's coming up soon. Can't remember when, though.
Yeah, I don't recall checking for that, because I only recently got World Quest, so I wasn't really concerned about that at that point.
No, it'll come up eventually. Maybe.
It will. We'll figure that out as soon as we can.
Yeah, I'll pay attention to that in the future as well. Of course, I'm a couple weeks out, so I'm so slow, this expansion.
Okay, it looks like it begins on October 9th.
Okay, so that's after Brewfest is over.
Yeah.
It's like so next month, dude.
But no idea when or to where you get that quest from. So if some people see that, watch out for it. Because I know where it was before, but I don't know where it is now. So
it's a Tortolan.
Oh.
Oh, the guy right by the inn?
Yeah.
Okay. He's a guy that I ignore because he never has anything I want.
Other than being an awesome turtle person.
And he's a Tortolan, so you know, whatever.
Yeah, better than the Vulpira.
I'll agree with that. I'm not a fan of the Vulpira.
Or the snake people.
I agree with that too, yeah.
But not better than the Kul'tiran druids.
Tell us about Method, what they're up to lately.
You know, no big deal. They just, you know, got world first, as was expected.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep. The only difference was they were streaming it this time around, and apparently at one point they had over, between all their streaming channels that they were streaming the raid from, at one point they had around 178 viewers, 178,000 viewers.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, it was crazy. They got world first, which I'm sure a lot of people expected, but I don't think it was nearly as close. I don't think it was nearly as much of a runaway as it was previously. I'm pretty sure Limit was giving them a run for their money.
Yeah, they were. I remember watching them, watching the progress off and on. But yeah, Limit was way right up there, and Limit actually finished second. And right now, there's 8 guilds. Because I was just looking on WoW progress before the show. 8 guilds have completed it. Three of which are, only 2 of which are American guilds. The other American guild, or US guild, is Wildcard Gaming, and that's the group that I got my mount from last expansion at the very, very end there. So, yay! And then, Toasty, you'll be excited to know that Fat Shark Yes is 8 of 8. And they're World 6.
Good job, Fat Shark, yes. Big Dumb Guild, I believe in you. You're sadly, 7 of 8 right now.
Yeah, Big Dumb Guild is 16th right now. I mean, yeah, 7 of 8, like you said.
So, of note, all the guilds that have completed Mythic Uldir are Horde. The Alliance side of that board is... Oh! WoW Progress is out of date.
Oh?
Looks like that Chinese guild has completed it as of yesterday at about 3:20.
Oh, silly WoW progress and being all out of date.
Yeah, it still says 7 of 8 there.
Jeez. It's just a lie, a huge lie. Oh, you know why? Because it's not tomorrow yet in Ireland.
That doesn't make any... Doesn't make any sense.
I'm sorry.
So as of right now, there are 9 guilds in the world that have completed it. That have completed the Mythic Uldir. 2 American guilds, 4 European guilds, and 2 Chinese guilds. Alright, well, Big Dumb Guild, you still get top 10. I believe in you.
You do that.
Or maybe just, you know, another Alliance guild. I'll take just another Alliance guild. Because in the top 20, there's only 3 of them. In the top 40, there's only 5. In fact, you don't get 10 Alliance guilds until you look at the top 80.
Jesus. That's crazy.
And in the top 100, there are 3, 5, 11, 14. So of the 100, of the top 100 raiding guilds in the world, 14 of them are alliance. To the surprise of nobody.
So that Chinese guild is alpha.
Is that what it translates to?
Yeah, that's what it says on method.gg/raid progress.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to start following method.gg instead of WoW Progress because it's actually up to date. And it has translation for me.
That is amusing, I have to say.
So, if I remember correctly, Cross-Realm Mythic isn't going to be unlocked until 100 guilds of each faction complete Mythic Old Year.
Oh, that'll be a while.
So, on the plus side, the Horde is, you know, pretty close to fulfilling that. Of the top 100, well, there's a lot of them that are Horde. And everybody in the top 100 is at least 5 of 8. It's going to be a while for Alliance.
I expect probably within a couple of weeks, we'll see a lot more progression happening.
Yeah, as they get gear.
From both sides, yeah. Stuff. Exactly.
I hope so, because just clicking through, I'm not sure there's 100 Alliance guilds. I'm not sure I've seen 100 Alliance guilds yet, and I am in the 300s.
Hmm.
Like, I'm seeing at most 5 a page. Usually it's 2.
Oh.
Well, yeah, that's a thing.
But
just, yeah, there's nothing.
No.
Yeah.
Alright. As many of our listeners may know, it was Anstecne's birthday the other day, and that means that it was also Talk Like a Pirate Day. As we all know, when it's Talk Like a Pirate Day, you can do stuff in WoW, get some cool stuff. But this year, Blizzard decided they were going to do something a little bit different. They announced a special. There's a new mount and a new pet that you get in the store. The pet is $10, which is the same as every other pet. The mount, though, had a special steal along with it. You could get it for 6 months of game time and a little bit extra. Fan, you said that you already had 6 months of game time subscribed and you got the mount as a gift, right?
Yeah. I have it set to renew every 6 months because, I play WoW anyways. Not always all that much, but I play it anyways. And per month, it's cheaper to get the 6 month sub. So my last time that my sub went through was, what did I say, April 24th?
Something like that, yeah.
Which means that the 180 days would be up October 21st, and the promotion only runs till about then. And yeah, I didn't notice it right away, but then I was looking at the WoW, or the Blizzard Battle.net account screen. And it said, hey, you have a gift. I'm like, I have a gift? Why do I have a gift? And so I went and looked, and sure enough, it was that mount. So, yeah, I did my 6 month sub in April, and it's almost over. And yeah, I got it, the mount. I didn't even know it was coming, but I got it.
I have some opinions on this mount. What do you guys think?
It's not a proper boat. Hashtag fail.
Yeah, I get that. Like, it doesn't really... Sure, it sits on top of the water, but...
But you go slower.
You go so slow, yeah. I don't know, maybe it's a flying ship and not meant for waterboarding. It's meant for air flying, and... Oh. Did you guys try it in a place where you're actually allowed flying? To see if it flies? Yes. And if it
does fly.
Is it like a decent pace on the water?
It's the same. It's the same as. Well, okay. If you are in the water, it is the same as in our current content. If you go just above the water, it goes the normal flying speed.
Yeah. So it's just a flying mount. It's not anything special.
Correct. I do like that the art for it does have it sit where you'd expect it to sit if it was a boat.
Yeah.
So you can row your boat if you so choose. It's not the best, without a doubt, but it's better than nothing, and it's a really cool art asset. I just wish that it came with a water speed boost.
I'd be okay if it didn't have a water speed boost. If, like, you know that stupid little turtle mount that grants 0% speed increase?
Yes.
Like, I'd be okay if it was just walking speed on the water. Just don't make me slower in the boat while it's in the water.
Yeah, I get that. Especially when you can have like the water strider, because that walks on the water, right?
Yep, and it's at an increased speed.
Yeah.
I kind of want the water strider speed on for my boat, but that's just me.
I don't think it's just you.
I do like it. Like I said, it's really cool. It's a fun mount, but it's not something that I would fly around in or ride around in any significant fashion. It's just too slow. I mean, like you said, Fan, it's the same price you'd pay for a 6-month subscription anyway. So, you know, if you're paying for 6 months anyway, you may as well use this option.
And for those of you who where the 6-month option is not financially viable for you, apparently we can just buy this mount separately at some point in 2019. So, if you'd rather just cough up the $20. It is for a mount. It's $20, right? US?
25 usually.
Yeah, 25. Yeah. If you just want to call for $25 at some point down the line for it, then that option will be available sometime next year.
Absolutely.
And then there's Captain Crackers, the parrot. That's cool too. Does it sit on your shoulder? Like a pirate parrot should?
I don't know. I didn't buy it. I know. Shocking. It should, but I don't know if it does.
Does the video indicate that? No, it just flies beside you. I guess that's okay. If that thing sat on my shoulder, I would have it on there all the time just to spite Pepe.
Man, you have such a hate for Pepe, man. Yep. Such a hate.
Yep.
Stop drinking the haterade, man. Stop drinking the haterade.
I refuse.
Anyways, what's going on with the PTRs lately?
Oh, man. Okay, so, as we all know, during the Reddit Q&A, was it the Reddit Q&A last week where they said they were going to be talking about the next patch?
Yes.
On the Tuesday?
He said that in the AMA, yeah.
So, Tuesday, we got a whole bunch of information about what's coming up in the PTR, and some of it sounds crazy. I'm talking specifically about the Siege of Zul'Dazar. Which, that's not the final name. I hope that's not the final name. Siege of Zul'Dazar raid is an interesting concept. So basically, it's a 9-boss raid, and the way Alliance is going to approach it, they're going to... And I say Alliance will approach it because it matters for the faction-wise. The Alliance is going to attack it from the docks, and then... So you'll get three different bosses... And then you'll tackle three other bosses. And that's where the Alliance story ends, with those six bosses. Now, the Horde is going to do it a different way. They're going to start with the three bosses that the Alliance ended with. And then they're going to tackle three more bosses. And that's where the Horde story will end. Now, I did say it was a 9-boss raid, so... After those six bosses are done to wrap up the faction-specific story, each faction will then do the opposite faction's three bosses to close out the raid. So that's an interesting concept.
Hmm.
And I'm not... like, it's cool, it's exciting, it's something new, but something that I would worry about, especially came to mind because of all the Mythic World First talk that's been happening over the past week. How is that World First race going to be affected by this change in layout to the raid? Right?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a very good question. Like, how are they going to... If each side is having two different raids, two different experiences, then that's just not fair to one side.
Oh, and Gil, yeah, I get it. Horde will definitely finish first. I have no doubt about that. But let's say in a world where there's a good, where there's an alliance guild that keeps pace with Method.
Well, you know what? Maybe there'll be like the return of vodka. Wow.
Oh man.
Wow.
I forgot about those guys.
Or you know, in because. Was vodka U.S. or EU?
I don't even remember. I'm pretty sure it was EU.
Yeah, well, you know, there's also the idea of Deus Vox coming back. That's definitely U.S. because that was a Laughing Skull guild.
What I found really interesting about those bosses, about this raid, is some of the bosses that we're going to be going up against. And I won't get into... You know what? Screw it. They talked about it during the PTR. We don't know what's happening with the raid. I think we can talk. Are you okay with talking about the bosses that we're gonna be we're gonna be up against, Medros?
Sure.
So the big alliance boss that the alliance are gonna be fighting is King Rastakhan, which is like he's become important to the Horde story in Battle for Azeroth. So yeah, that'll be interesting. And see what exactly happens with him. The big Horde boss that the Horde are going to go up against is Jaina Proudmoore. So that's interesting. I hope she doesn't die.
Yeah, I mean she'll come out of her dreadlord, her normal skin, become a lead dreadlord and flee.
Okay, yeah, I buy that.
So, but you were saying that Horde will fight Jaina, but then. The Alliance will end up fighting Jaina as well?
From what I understand it, so there are going to be 6 bosses in the raid that will pertain to each faction's story.
Yeah.
And the 3 remaining bosses will be, it'll be like, you're just experiencing it from the opposite faction's point of view.
Yeah. Oh, that's super weird.
That way neither side is missing out on the story.
Yeah.
That's in the raid?
So I wonder if you have to go to Caverns of Time to like get changed into the other faction to fight.
Who knows how that'll
happen.
The other
3. Huh.
Well, does that mean we're going to be wearing opposite faction skins like in Caverns of Time? Or, oh, that's going to suck. Well, because like, I'm a Draenei, so whenever I get changed to opposite faction, I end up as a Blood Elf.
Oh, there you go. That's what I was going to say. You could just be a Blood Elf.
Yeah, that's an interesting way of approaching the raid, and like,
yeah,
the world first race is gonna be wonky. I mean, don't get me wrong, Method's gonna take it again. The way they approach it, the way it'll finish for them, is gonna be different than what an alliance guild is going to see.
Well, at least they're making it interesting.
Yeah, what's especially interesting about that is. One of the mid raid bosses for the Alliance is going to be one of the first bosses for the Horde. So
that's different.
Yeah. So I don't know how that's going. It'll be interesting to see how everybody adapts to those differing timelines, especially now that apparently streaming your progression, your mythic progression, is a thing that people are doing. So people will be able to. Everyone's going to be able to see what another group did to be successful at a boss.
But they're also like they're streaming it, but there's no voice. You can't hear the voice, like the actual voice of the raid stuff.
Right, but you can still see what's happening.
Yeah, that's true.
And yeah, I may not understand what I'm looking at when I see it, but a reader at that level might.
That's true.
I don't know. So yeah, that was one of the bigger things to take away from the 8.1 PTR stuff. They've already started showing off some of the armor coming from that raid. I think cloth, leather, and mail are available. No, nothing on the plate yet, as one would expect from as one may expect from a Zuldazar raid, especially considering the story behind Zuldazar for the Horde so far. There's a lot of bones. So many bones.
Really? I never would expect that.
Yeah. No plate gear yet. I'm interested to see what that'll look like. We saw the remainder of the druid forms come out, so we know what the Kul'tir and balanced druid looks like. It's very appropriate, although I'm going to say that of the three Kul'tir and druid forms, that's my least favorite. Still looks cool. It's just not what I was expecting based on some of the other stuff that we've seen around Kul'tiris. And the Zandalari Troll's got a cool little dinosaur dolphin thing for their swim form, which is cool. Zandalari druid models looking on point, as usual. We also got a peek at the Kul'tiran heritage armor. So it's what we expected it to be. It's that cool little overcoat with the popped collar thing, and that looks really good. I'm definitely going to be using a Kul'tiran, I think, when it unlocks. The great thing about these allied races is that there's no new rep requirements to unlock them. So it's going to utilize existing rep requirements, so either Primor Admiralty or the whatever the equivalent is for Horde. Zandalar something, I assume. So when they become available, you'll just have to do that short little quest line like you did with all, I would assume. And you'll be able to unlock those. So if either Zandalari or Kul'tiran is something you're looking forward to using, just make sure you hit Exalted with Kul'tiran, with the Proudmoore Admiralty or whatever the Horde equivalent is. We also saw the Kul'tiran reputation mount. Surprise, surprise, Alliance got another horse. Albeit it's a good looking horse. I want something other than horses, Blizz. Give me something other than horses. I will accept the bee for now.
They'll give you a Tortolan to ride, okay? They'll give you a Tortolan to ride.
I just want to be a Tortolan.
No, they'll give you a Tortolan to ride. You can ride on his back.
I already have a war turtle. Or a war turtle. I already have the war turtles from the Pandaren.
Okay, but this is a Tortolan. You can ride him.
No, I want to be a Tortolan.
Beatback style.
I want to be a Tortolan.
Well, I think you're being greedy, so.
Yeah, well, I'll get the B too.
Oh, you want to be the mount? Okay.
No.
Zeph's got it right, okay.
No. I want to play as a warrior Tortolan. Don't give me Vulpira, don't give me weird snack people. Tortolan. Other stuff that's coming there, a whole bunch of changes to Elemental Shaman coming, which I'm sure a lot of Shaman are appreciating. Because Shaman have not been in a good place, and they've been very vocal about that. And, you know, rightfully so.
But Shaman were, like, crazy last expansion, where they could just go and chain lightning and do crazy burst. That's from what I've seen running with various people. Elemental was, like, crazy. Like, just, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember during WOD, was it? Yeah, WOD, Enhancement Shaman were just nuts. Just because that Flame Shock, Lava Lash, Fire Nova combo was just deadly.
Yeah.
I remember during the trash right before Black Fuse, I could burst for something like 1.5 million DPS. Just with Flame Shock, Lava Lash, and Fire Nova. It was amazing. I loved it so much. And I haven't played my Enhancement Shaman extensively since then. RIP.
I haven't played my Enhancement Shaman in forever either.
I've never created a Shaman that lasted past level 10.
Missing out, man. Shaman are so much fun.
Yeah.
Especially yeah, Enhancement Shaman.
Yeah. Even, I had fun with Resto. Resto Shaman.
It's funny, I originally leveled my Shaman because I felt the healing looked like fun. I did not enjoy healing on my Resto Shaman.
See, I've healed on... I was going to say I've healed on everything, but no, I haven't. I did a lot of druid healing. I did a lot of shaman healing. Pretty much nil for pally healing. And definitely nil for monk healing. What am I missing? Oh, priest. I did a lot of disc priest healing, but not holy. What other healing specs are there? Classes are there? I think that's it.
Resto Druid, Holy Priest, Disc Priest, Resto Shaman, Holy Pally, Mistweaver Monk. Sounds about right.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, one other thing that a lot of people seem to be really happy about, although I don't see it as fixing the problem entirely. I kept wide reputation achievements. So one of the problems that people had with those rep achievements is that it counted, it all, as far as I'm aware, it only counted the rep on one tune, and whatever one had the highest, that's what kind of what they used. So basically, they're going to change that achievement the achievement criteria so that it's going to count all the exalted reps across your account. And that will determine your progress in that achievement. So obviously there's going to be some cases where a horde and where a certain faction will only be available to where a certain rep will only be available to a certain faction. So what they're going to do in that case is treat those two reps as a single rep. So say, I can't even think of a faction exclusive rep right now. Oh, Culturian Admiralty. Oh. Say Culturian Admiralty, for example. If you're exalted on that, and you're not exalted on the Zandalari one, when it's counting the progress towards that achievement, it's treating those as a singular rep. So if you're exalted with both those factions, only one of them is going to count. So, yeah. So that's how that is going to work, which hopefully should make it easier for. Yeah. Good work, Gil. So yeah, Ian said that each one would be mutually exclusive, so it'd only be counted once. So but just because you have Culture and Admiralty and insert Zandalar rep at Exalted, so while it looks like two factions, it's only going to count as one. Because Alliance can't get one and Horde can't get the other. Make sense?
That's kind of like when they count your mounts for the mount achievements, too. Whatever I have on... Well, let's talk about the motorcycle mounts, the choppers. I have both of them, but on my Horde guy, it'll only count the Horde one, and on the Alliance guy, it'll only count the Alliance side.
Yeah, because it just counts whatever is usable.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So it's kind of the same idea. Although I wish I could use some of those ones on other characters. I don't know.
Man, there was a bunch of other really cool stuff that came out of the PTR this week. Oh, and a lot of this really spoilery stuff that we can't really talk about too much. There's a new Warfront. That's going to be in Darkshore, which I don't think a lot of people expected to be the next one to come up. I feel like everybody expected the one in the Barrens to be the next one up, because that's the one that was picked up earlier. And with that, of course, we're going to get a whole bunch of different gear models that we're going to be getting as a reward for those Warfronts. So, whereas the Battle for Arathi, or Battle for Stromguard, sorry, rewards very Horde and Alliance themed gear, the Battle for Darkshore is providing Forsaken and Night Elf specific themed gear. The Forsaken stuff looks really good. The Night Elf stuff looks like it could be okay. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of it as it stands right now, but maybe it's an incomplete model. I hope it's an incomplete model, because they leave a little bit to be desired. What else did we see in there? A bunch of new mounts. Remember that brain mount that was apparently just a placeholder
yeah.
at one point?
The Hive Mind?
Yeah. So there's a new model for that. I hope that's not a placeholder, because that one looks cool too. Also interesting is we got new models for Malfurion, Lorthamar, or not Lorthamar, Kael'thas, which is interesting, and Tyrande. Now, Tyrande's new model is especially spoilery, so I'm not going to get into too much detail about that one. Just, she looks like the badass that that Toronto was supposed to be now. Not just Priestess of Alun, which is super cool. I'm looking forward to seeing how Toronto's story develops in 8-1, because, yeah.
Did you guys... Is this new, or did you guys talk about it last week? The, what is it? The Vault Guardian model.
Oh, that's new.
That's super cool.
The Golden Mental?
Yeah.
The Treasure Mental? None of those rolls off the tongue yet. I'll think of something. The Bling-a-Mental? Bling-a-Mental. There we go.
Oh, there's a sleigh. Huh, that's cool.
Now, we did get a whole bunch of different story threads just through data mine text. Obviously, we're not going to get into the nitty-gritty of those details, but I feel like we can say who it involves.
Sure.
So, Tyrande, obviously. Vol'jin is also making a comeback. In what form? Whatever. But it looks like there's a... His story's not done, as we were promised. And I don't think I saw any specific data mine stuff for this, but it was specifically mentioned during Ian's talk about 8.1, but we should be seeing some progression for Sarfang's story as well.
I just want to go to the stockades and see him there in a cell and not able to get out. Poke him with a stick through the bars.
Hey, you still here? You still here? Let's not poke the warrior orc.
Oh, he'll poke you back.
He can try. Stick with a knife.
You know, those bars aren't one way, right? Stuff can go the other way.
Eh, he's there for good. He's not getting out.
So other stuff that's coming in 8.1. We're getting new heritage armor, I believe, for the dwarves and blood elves?
Blood elves, yeah.
I hope we get that... A bunch of stuff been data mined in regards to Blood Elf armor. I hope it's that Blood Elf guard armor, because that Blood Elf guard armor has always looked really cool.
I thought you didn't like Blood Elves.
That armor looks really cool, though. The dwarf armor, there's no models for that right now in the PTR, but they did have an artist interpretation of that armor. On our concept, there we go. And that looks great. I want that armor as well.
I just want the Stormwind Guard armor that I worked so hard to get way back when and never was able to use because I didn't have the rep for the PvP rep I needed from like 3 years earlier.
Stormwind Guard armor?
Yeah.
You can get that from the WOD transmog place.
Huh?
The Stormwind Guard armor, right?
Yeah, there was a specific set of armor that the guards wore back, like, up until the end of... until the Cataclysm, then the armor changed. And I had gathered up the pieces that were available from PvP back in the day that looked exactly like that armor.
Okay, hold on.
And they've...
I'm pasting a link in the Discord. Is that the armor?
No.
Okay. So... Good, because like you can just get that armor from one of your garrison buildings.
That's the new armor.
All right, okay.
I wanted the old stuff.
Okay, that's fair. All right.
Basically, it was a bunch of PvP stuff with a few extra pieces built in, but you can only transmog them if you got the original PvP ranks that earned the specific looks of that armor.
And you bought it after? Did you buy it after the fact?
Yes.
Okay.
I PvP'd to get it after the fact, but I didn't get the required rank that I needed originally, so...
That sucks.
Yes. I am still bitter about that. But we'll see what the human pieces are going to look like in the end, because you never know what's going to change.
I almost forgot. So Siege of Zul'Dazar isn't the only raid that we're getting in 8... That's going to be coming in 8-1. There's going to be another smaller raid. Think, Oh, what's that raid? Maw Souls. No. Muscles. The Odin Helia raid that I'm blanking on the name, because I just never did it. Trial of Valor.
I was going to say throne, but yeah.
Yeah. Think Trial of Valor-sized raid. So far, there's two bosses in there. I think that's all they intend there for there to be, but that's further progressing the story. I believe that's intended to come after Siege of Zuldazar. There's also going to be several new islands for expeditions. And looks like Paragon reputations are coming in for 8.1. So yeah, we have that to look forward to. And something that I'm sure Frasley is looking forward to is Nomuragon is suddenly relevant again. If you like pet battles.
I'm sure he's very, very excited about this.
Maybe. I don't know if he's a pet battler. Can a gnome pet battle? What stops the pet from throwing the gnome in? Pet,
yeah, that's what I thought.
Anyway, that's...
Yeah, the Nomuragon pet battle dungeon, I'm sure he'll be very happy for. Because
yeah.
He is technically correct. He did predict that Nomuragon would eventually be a dungeon, and he was right, somehow.
Wait, he predicted Nomuragon would be a dungeon? But, yes. Like, it's already a dungeon.
But he had a resurgent a dungeon. Like, revitalized.
Okay.
Made fresh, I guess.
Made relevant again for some reason?
For some weird reason.
Just in certain scenarios. Specifically pet battle scenarios. Anyway, so that's just a few of the highlights coming out of the 8.1 PTR. Of course, there's plenty of other things going on in there, and I'm sure we're going to be seeing many more new interesting tidbits coming out as the PTR progresses. What have you guys thought of the PTR stuff that's come out so far?
What I've seen so far has been pretty interesting. I did note a few things. I'm excited the Paragon reputations accommodations have been added in. Those would be nice to have when I finally hit Exalted up with some of the factions. I'm curious to see what the cooking scenario will be if it ever is released. And I'm very intrigued by the fact that there's two raids in this expansion, or this patch. It's not often we get a significant update like this. I'm curious to see how it'll impact the overall length of the expansion and the content for the 8.2 patch, if there is one. Because if they're putting this much content and this much work into 8.1, will they have enough to put another raid or a dungeon in 8.2? But last time we got the first patch didn't have a raid, and then the second one did. So maybe they're just kind of switching that up. Maybe the 8.2 will not have a raid. It'll be more like the 8.1 we had, or the 7.1 we had last expansion.
Wait,
7.1 did not have
I thought that had Nighthold.
Did it?
I can't remember now. It's been a while.
I was returned to Karazhan. Oh, and it did have a raid. Trial of Valor.
I thought
the first patch didn't have a raid last expansion.
Yeah, so 7.1 was Return to Karazhan, which included revamped Karazhan, and it also included Trial of Valor. 7.2 did not have a new raid. Or 7.2 had Nighthold, sorry. Oh, you know what? Nighthold... Okay, now remembering. So Emerald Nightmare and Nighthold technically shipped with the game.
Mm-hmm.
But Nighthold wasn't actually unlocked until sometime later. Nighthold. Just referred to Wellpedia. Oh, this is gonna bug me now. Sorry guys.
Sorry.
It doesn't say what patch it came out in. Came out on January 17th, though, which I think is smack dab in 7.1.5. Yeah, so Nighthold and Emerald Nightmare were shipped with the game, but Nighthold didn't unlock until 7.1.5. So it shipped with the game, but didn't unlock until much later. I forget why I was looking this up or why it's relevant to the conversation. But that's when Nighthold... Oh, that's right, because we're talking about what patches gave what. So we got Emerald Nightmare at launch, Return to Karazhan in 7.1, and then 7.1.5 gave us... unlocked Nighthold, and then 7.2 we got Tomb of Sargeras, and then 7.3... was Argus, right?
I think so.
Yeah, Argus. Oh, yeah, so we had a raid here. We had a raid open up every patch. It's interesting.
I guess I was wrong then. My bad. All right. Anything for you, Fan, that you thought was interesting from this?
No, not really. Exciting stuff. I haven't even gotten to the point where I've consumed a lot of the current content, so the whole rep thing is, or the like rep sharing thing, or rep count sharing thing sounds, I think that sounds pretty cool.
Oh, one other cool thing that I forgot about, Bareform Malfurion has a model now, and looks pretty much what you expect it to look like. Bareform Malfurion. You look at that bear like, yep, that's Malfurion. He better be like super huge.
Well, I'm glad to hear he didn't die.
Yet.
Well, all men must die, you know.
I'm going to pay a bill or two, maybe.
Sure.
Today's show is also brought to you by Audible. You can get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2018. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2018. Now over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. Today we're going to begin an interesting series called Codex Alera, and we'll start with Book 1, Furies of Calderon. Let's have a listen.
If you weren't my Patroceras, I would find you an impossible man, Amara sighed. That's sweet of you to say, Fidelius replied. You've come a long way since your first term at the Academy. You were so shocked when you found out that the cursors did more than deliver missives.
You love telling that story, even though you know I hate it.
No, Fidelius said with a grin. I love telling that story because I know you hate it.
She looked down at him archly. This is why the Cursor Legate keeps sending you away on missions, I think.
It's a part of my charm, Fidelius agreed. Now then, my first concern, question, Amara corrected. Question, he allowed, is with our cover story.
What question? Armies need iron. You're an ore smuggler, and I'm your slave. You heard there was a market out this way, and you came to see what money could be made.
Ah, said Fidelius. And what do I tell them when they ask where I got the ore? It isn't just found by the roadside, you know.
You're a cursor, Calidus. You're creative. I'm sure you'll think of something.
So once again, that was Codex Alera, The Furies of Calderon, written by Jim Butcher, narrated by Kate Reading, and you can find that and over 200,000 titles to choose from over at bit.ly/ATABooks2018. And we thank Audible for sponsoring the show. Interesting note about this book series, I just want to point out to everybody. Jim Butcher started writing the series on a bet that he couldn't write a book, that any good writer could write a book given two very horrible topics. The two topics that he was given before he wrote this book was a lost Roman legion and Pokemon, and that turned into a 6-book series, which we're going to start exploring. I've had a lot of fun with it so far. The first book is really good.
All right. Well, our question of the week from last week was, how do you feel about Ian Hazzikostas's Ask Me Anything on Reddit?
Frowsy says, I feel that it went pretty well. I like that Ian is trying new methods of communicating with the audience, being transparent on why Blizzard is making some of its decisions, even if people don't like it and are vocal about it. Zephyriah says, I mean, it was weird, but okay. I don't expect a lot of information. He did good, even if weird.
And WookieBH said, I thought it was fine. I don't know what people expected. Ian wasn't going to make any real announcements on Reddit. Even the IE buffs were announced just before. And it served a slightly humbling prelude to the 8.1 reveal where many concerns were really addressed. Big Fat Cow said, a lot of words that amounted to very little. It felt premature in terms that they didn't seem to have anything new to say, so it felt like, great, guess everything is gonna say as is, thanks for the waste of time.
And Gillian says, it wasn't great. A lot of what was said was nothing but a lot was said, but nothing at the same time. It felt more like doubling down on explanations about systems than discussing anything of progress. At the time of the AMA, though, I don't think they were ready to say much as yet. The criticism clearly took them by surprise. And sorry, go ahead.
I mean, yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. They weren't ready to discuss anything, I don't think, when that AMA took place. They were just trying to send the message, I think, that everybody's opinions and complaints were not going unheard. Yeah, looks like 8.1 is addressing some of the concerns, and who knows what it's going to address. Who knows what else it's going to address as that PTR cycle continues.
All right. Next week's question is, what thing data mined from the 8.1 PTR excites you the most? Ben?
I mean, there's stuff that we talked about today, but I haven't read through a whole bunch of the PTR stuff, so I don't know. I mean, I'm excited to maybe start playing WoW a little bit more and hitting 120, but that has nothing to do with the 8.1 PTR.
I'm excited for the different story points that we're going to be exploring, specifically Tyrande's and Vol'jin's. Yeah, what I've seen of the Datamine stuff has raised more questions than provided answers, and I want to see where that goes and how it's implemented.
I agree with you. I want to see Tyrande's stuff. I want to see her become a Night Warrior. I definitely want to see this for her. She has long been seen by a lot of people as in Mulfurion's shadow, and I think this will definitely make her become her own person and a very different person than she was.
Yeah, be the Tyrande that was around prior to WoW, because I feel like prior to WoW her character was much more like a badass warrior kind of thing, a priestess. And that's very much the experience we have with her in WoW right now. Oh, we actually got an email this week, eh?
We did. Now, this is an email answering last week's question, but it's still good. Chris writes, "Hey guys, how do I like the island expeditions? I find them kind of boring and pointless. I don't care about artifact power, and the bonus rewards are basically non-existent. On Monday this week, I was around 1,400 rep away from the Exalted with Honorbound. I was going to finish the quests for the 1,500 rep, but I could not bring myself to finish the second expedition since they are just not fun. Maybe if you could buy the rewards with the doubloons, it would give some reason to do them. The Warfront was okay, but gathering wood and metal seems more like work for a peon and not for the champion of Azeroth. I remember having more fun in Tol'Borad and Wintergrasp, having fighting for control of the zone. Anyway, keep up the good work, and go Jets go."
Except when they play the blues.
Yeah.
No, especially when they play the blues.
Yeah, it's true.
Thanks for the email, Chris. Appreciate it.
For sure. All right. I want to remind everybody, if you didn't see the post I put up or any of the other stuff, the contest for the first phase of the contest for the Echo Gear mount stand will be ending next week. As a reminder for those who have forgotten, the question of the month for that was, what has been your favorite quest in Battle for Azeroth so far? And we've gotten some great answers so far. We want to have your answers so we can read them on next week's episode, and maybe get you a mount for your monitors. I want you guys to either email us, again, tweet us, or you can always go to Discord and put your question of the month there. And you have until, I believe it was noon? Yeah, noon on the 1st to get your answers in. And then we'll read the second question for the next phase on the show that night. So get your answers in now for a chance to win that prize. And as I said that day, it is open to everyone in North America. Or at least Canada and US, at least. Alright, shoutouts. Toasty, you first.
Oh, you throw me on the spot here.
Not really. We do this every week.
Quiet you. Shout out to Fan. It's good to have you back, man.
Yay.
Missed you, buddy.
Yay.
How about you, Fan?
Shout out to the vet that removed the thing from Cookie's abdomen and gave him all the medication and steroids that was definitely making him feel better, and he's eating a lot. Not so shout out to having to give him the hypoallergenic food that he has that costs me $3 a can, including tax, and he'll go through a can a day. That's a lot of money for cat food. That's way more than what I have paid in the past. But it's, you know, he likes it, and he hasn't gotten sick again, so we'll see what happens. But I'm happy that he's back to his normal self.
Awesome. For my shout-out, I am going to shout-out to several people. Aleandris of Dungeon Fables, Frazzly of Frazzlecast, Toshimafun of Half Hill Report, Berserker of Unshaded Fury, Stone of WoW Challenges, and Nick of WoW Talk, who will be joining me for the Pod Before the Con Warcraft on October 28th at 7 p.m. on the Con Before the Storm Twitch.tv stream. I'm really excited for this. It's going to be a really fun time. It'll be a great way to get us into the mood for the BlizzCon and all the fun stuff that's going to happen there. So it's going to be a good time. At least 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. on Pacific Coast. If you are interested in other stuff, there's also going to be the General Blizzard one, and that'll be, I believe, of Roe, that'll be Seraphis. Lots of people in that one. That'll be a wild show. And that'll be at 10 p.m. that night, Eastern Time. So definitely check out those broadcasts, and of course, there'll be the kickoff show and stuff at the Anaheim Hilton on the 1st.
Oh man, I get to troll you in a chat room that I'm not during a show that I'm not on. Well, that's gonna be so much fun.
I am gonna be too busy monitoring to look at the chat room.
I'll find a way.
You have fun.
It's been a while since I've been able to harass you via chat during a podcast.
You harass me often, man.
Yeah, but not via the chat room during the show.
This is true. I do want to point out Jen. Will be repping the Shattered Soul Stone podcast at the Diablo or at the Storm panel at the Con Before the Storm. So definitely check that out. That'll be a good time as well, I'm sure.
Just like less than a month. Just a little over a month before I'm there. Can't wait. 36 yeah. days.
Almost, I should
probably
man.
Renew yep, my passport.
Getting close. yeah. You're paid for expedited, man. You're not going to get it before then.
It gets there in 2 weeks.
All right. All right.
If I walk into the building, it'll get there. It'll be done in 2 weeks.
Okay. When I got mine, it took 6 weeks to get mine.
Did you mail it? Did you mail it in, or did you go to the office?
Went to the office.
Huh. Well, if I have to pay for expedited, I pay for expedited. Whatever.
Eh. Do what you gotta do, man.
Yep.
I would never wait this long. That's just me, though.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, definitely check out Con Before the Storm. Whether it's the pre-stuff, the event stuff, or the post-stuff, it'll be a lot of fun. All right, I think that's about it. So let us do the outro, I guess.
Okay. So, if you'd like to reach us by voicemail, you can call us at 1-785-ATA-WOW-5 or 1-785-282-9695. You can send emails to show at allthingsazeroth.com, and if you like what we do here, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/allthingsaz. You can find the show over on Twitter at allthingsaz, Medros is at Medros, Fandeath is at Fandeath, I'm at ToastyPostyCan, and you can find the network over at Dawnforge. Join our new Battle.net group at bit.ly/bnetata, and please check out the other shows from Dawnforge Productions, including Group Quest, Shattered Soulstone, More Than Megapixels, and Across the Universe.
And we'll be back next week. In the meantime, take care, happy hunting, and we'll see you on the other side of another LFR wing.
And the Ken in Toasty Posty Ken stands for Canada. Frazzly.
Yes.
Toasty, you're so complicated.
This podcast has been a production of Dawnforge, copyright 2018. Find out more at thedawnforge.com.